When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Tane.
And I'm Aid, and this is Alter Call, a Married at First Sight podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of MAF, Season 17, Episode 21, aka We Should Have Been Done, But We're Not. Hi, Aid. How are you?
I'm good. I'm with you, though. This should have been done.
This entire episode was a whole lot of nothing. It was just about growth and reflection, I guess. But we'll get into it. Can you share with the people what they should expect this week from us?
This week, you can find Love is Blind on our Patreon. And that is up to the season finale. And then next week, we will have Love is Blind, the reunion, up on our Patreon, our coverage. We had previously told you guys that we were going to do Traitors on Patreon, but surprise, special gift. Next week, we're out because guess who's traveling for work again? But also, we're a little bit tired of these people. So we're going to take a break. And next week, we're going to give you guys Traitors here on the main feed. That gives you plenty of time to go binge Traitors because it's so good. Traitors Season 2 on Peacock. That's where you can find it. So, so good. So, Tane, what is going on the interwebs?
A little bit of here, a little bit of something. Jacqueline from the, you know what? I try to remember what city. I want to say the original Boston, but I feel like I'm wrong. Jacqueline and Ryan. Okay. There were two Jacqueline and Ryans, but Jacqueline and Ryan is having a baby. So congratulations to her. Jake from Atlanta 2.0, famously paired with Haley, has hard launched a girlfriend. Yay, Jake!
I saw her and I thought, how did he pull that?
The beauty of life is there's always someone for everyone. So, I mean.
And it's not nice to refer to a beautiful young woman as that, but I was like, you seem really pretty for Jake.
But Jake is not ugly.
No, the personality definitely. I'm not a fan.
But that's, I understand. But I think, and then that's the thing. It's just like, I feel like some may consider him odd, but I mean, there's someone for everyone. Like, there's a few MAFS people that you think are odd, but you know, there's always someone for everyone. I bet there are even people that think we're odd. And
really,
because I mean, Justin, you could say odd, Henry, and they're not bad people. They're just what some people might call odd. So, you know.
Henry might have been odd, but I liked him and he was cute. So that's not part of my theory.
Oh, Lordy. Okay, well, congratulations. Lindsay from Boston 2.0 is in Mexico with her boyfriend, still living her best life. But the interesting part is that they are staying in Hotel Escarat. And for those of you who are kind of new to us or joined us in newer seasons, our first season that we covered was the New Orleans season, and that's where they went for their honeymoon. And Aid was so obsessed with it, and she just always used to say, Hotel Escarat. So I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but that's where they are anyways. So
talking of the Hotel Escarat, special thanks to Amy for sending us a message that sent us back down memory lane when, oh my gosh, it doesn't matter who, was sitting there eating their tableside guacamole And I went on a rant about how I don't like tableside guacamole because I don't want to watch people make my food. Don't like hibachi either. But it's clear that Amy either remembers or she's gone way back to listen to us. And either way, I appreciate that trip down memory lane. So thanks, Amy.
And I just want to say that this is what some might call odd, but we got a few messages of people agreeing with you because your tribe is always out there. Because I had never thought about that in my life until you said so. So, you know, just wanted to point that out. So Mavs Fan did a little Q&A where she asked people if they wanted to know stuff about updates about other people, past Mavs participants. And I think I read that Gil or someone had said Gil had an OnlyFans. And I'm like, and I think she said, no, he didn't. And someone was like, nope, I saw it with my own eyes. And I'm like, wait, did we know that? Is this new information? Again, I don't trust my memory these days, but I'm like, what?
Sounds like news to me, but I'm officially never surprised. Never surprised anymore. OnlyFans makes money. I don't know from who or how, but the serious, serious money.
You know, sometimes, you know, you run across things and you see the amount of money that they make, or even when Larsa said how much she made on Real Housewives of Miami. And recently this week, I think Karrueche, Chris Brown's ex-girlfriend, just announced that she was opening OnlyFans and people have a foot fetish and they just want to pay to see her feet. And I'm like, if I get a pedicure, I don't even have to put my face and I just put my feet moisturizing real good. Will I get a lot of money? Because that seems like an easy way to make money. But anyways, Gil, make your money, boo. I heard I think he got a house too. So, you know, congrats to him. Clara is moving to Canada for her boyfriend.
Fun.
I think I saw this because Virginia said something about people thinking they were together or something like that. And she's like, even though she's moving to Canada to be with her boyfriend, she just said it in passing in a caption. So I'm like, good for her. It looks like her relationship is going well.
How many people do you think sent Virginia messages talking about, I think that's your girlfriend?
I feel bad because I'm not sure if that's what it really was. I just saw it in passing, but just in case it was, I think a lot of people, I find that the comment section, people that send messages to people can be really, really bizarre. So I expect that it would be a high number, especially when people are just catching up. They just might, you know.
Okay.
Just in case. But speaking of moving, Lindy, who is now a flight attendant as her second job, has passed her flight attendant 6-month probation. And she's taking a break now. So good luck to her because, you know, it sounds fun. She gets to go to many countries, but it just looks like it's exhausting also.
I imagine so. I mean, I spend a lot of time on planes and the whole flight attendant see the world thing, it doesn't seem that great.
Yeah. On a serious note, Lifetime posted a clip of the week's episode and Beth from the Charlotte season responded in the comments saying that, it was a clip of Becca saying like she wants to see what the experience is like off camera. And she made a comment about, yeah, so much for the off camera experience. And she mentioned something about filming with two black guys and no one asked her what was going on. And I literally went through all of the comments just to get context, because it's such a serious accusation. And it seemed like she was referring to filming couples cam, not the actual show. Because I was like, if he threw her on the ground, which is what she said, that he threw her on the ground and nobody deserves to get hit, I would hope they would step in. But this seemed like to be couples cam and no one asked. And then she says, like, you know, he took everything during the divorce. He lied about filing for the divorce. And she was the one who actually had to file. And all that is going to come out in court documents. And, you know, I'm glad she's okay. I'm glad she got out. No one needs to be in an abusive relationship. And she does say that there are others that are there. So just sharing, you know, what she said on there. Shout out to Rachel. I hadn't seen it, but brought it to our attention. But yeah, that was pretty dark.
I know some of you may not have the context, but Couples Cam, way back when it was on, was self-filmed. So there was no crew. It was just the couples filming themselves, which yeah. is part of why maybe things were missed. I'm not making excuses for anybody, but...
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I got for this week.
I think that was a lot, Tane. I think that was
I'm making up for all those times where there was really nothing that we could say. But I'm ready to talk about this episode, but we will take a break and we'll dive into it.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you make can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Summer is coming, and it is time for all of us to go on vacation. You can use the money you earn from EarnIn to buy a new bathing suit or some new clothes for your fun summer vacation.
Download EarnIn today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in AltaCall on the podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's AltaCall on the podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max, see earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Ladies, you know that vicious week before your period where you feel like you want to crawl out of your skin, you feel a little bit down or off, and those cravings when you feel like you could eat anything in sight? Well, there's a solution for that. Now it's easier to manage your PMS with Estrogen Control.
You have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality. And it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AltaCallMaths at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ALTARCALLMAFS for 15% off today.
If you're like me and looking to cut back on alcohol this year, Reese's Zero Proof Craft Mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. They've recreated the cocktails you know and love, like their Ginger Lime Mule and Grapefruit Paloma, which happen to be my favorites. You can enjoy the flavors and feelings of those cocktails without the booze. Zero proof, zero compromise. Listeners can get 15% of the Recess Mocktail Sampler at takearecess.com/AltaCallMAFS.
You guys know I don't drink very much, so Recess is a great substitute while everybody else imbibes. It's a lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients like uplifting guayusa and stress-balancing adaptogens. Whether you're relaxing after work or hanging out with friends, make Recess Mocktails your drink between drinks or your forever mocktail. Get 15% off Recess Mocktails now at takearecess.com/AltaCallMAFS so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences.
Okay, and we're back. And, you know, you guys, we watched After Party. After Party was an hour, no Prison Brides in between. And so we are not going to have a bonus episode of After Party. Instead, we are just going to talk about it on this episode because my mind was shook.
Let's be clear here that After Party was 1 hour, but we were shooketh because of one person and one person only, and his name is Cameron.
I'm inserting that. That Sheree gif, the one where she's like, whoo, like, you know when you don't know what to expect? I was just like, what is happening? What is happening? But anyways, as it applies, we're going to sprinkle in all the important tea that was spilled on there. So we start the episode with the girls. They're still together. And by the girls, I mean Emily, Claire, and Becca. This is 3 days after decision day. Looks like they're still in the apartment. Emily says that none of the husbands have texted them after yesterday, which is the pizza party from hell. And my first thought was like, what do you want them to text you? Like, from what I saw, it was contentious. It did not seem like anyone was on good terms. So should she have expected a text? I don't know. I guess they were looking for apologies. That's what she said. So that's what she was looking for.
And I'm not saying the editing is not a thing, but Emily, we ended on you apologizing to Brennan. So was he supposed to call you after and apologize to you? Like, I was quite confused. I also did not love the three of y'all were in three separate relationships. Why are you now in one relationship? Like, oh, the three of them haven't called us. Well, y'all are in three separate relationships, and I think there's three separate reasons why you haven't gotten a call. Especially since you all broke up.
This is part of what I struggle with, is that you make a good point. Their relationship suddenly became a package deal, starting with the pizza party. And I think Keisha tried to allude to that on After Party, and I don't know that that was received well. But I do think there's a point to it. Like, there's too much involvement. I'm not saying don't support your friend, but every case was different. Lest we forget, Claire and Cameron were done. Like, eons ago. Claire had no interest in this man. Maybe he didn't either. Whatever. It's not the same as Brennan being completely just robotic towards Emily. Or Austin just kind of leading Becca on. Like, it's just three different things. Like, three things to text. Like, now, should Austin have called maybe to apologize? That I can see because he lied. And they did say yes on decision day. So maybe an apology or something. Maybe I can see that. But the rest of them, I don't know. Cameron was pretty mad. And Cameron's pretty convinced that he was accused of something. So he should apologize for what? I don't know. But for clarity, because we were talking about the party and why Austin was not with Becca, he did say on After Party that he invited her, but she said she wanted to decompress. It doesn't matter. He still should have been like, okay, if you're decompressing, do you want me to stay with you or something? Not, okay, I'm going to go have fun myself. But anyways, Becca says,
more clarity from Austin. I guess you could call it that. I don't know what to call it. But Austin had a lot to say about how his night out came together. And he was like, it wasn't just the producer, him and Brennan. His friends had become friends with production. It sounded like one of his friends might be interested in the production girl. And so he called and wanted to hang out. And so they all went and hung out together. It was a large group of people. They didn't plan to bar hop, but then they did bar hop. I have trouble with believing that Austin is always being truthful, especially since he lied. but that's what he said.
Yeah. The only thing I found strange in that, I can understand like a rap party, so to speak, and everyone just saying that. What I didn't understand was how he became friends with the producer and then his friends were also interested in the producer. How much is the friend hanging around them that they became friends independently? That didn't check for me.
I wish he had said the friends who filmed. So if the clarity was that friends who had filmed had become friendly with the producer, that would make a little bit more sense than, does he have other friends who never filmed who then became friends with his producers? That's weird.
But even if they filmed, how much? Like, if he's the common denominator and they filmed for, I don't know, 8 weeks or more or whatever, how often are the friends filming that they forge this friendship, that they're going to bars together? Like, I don't know. That seems a little odd. Like, I would think the friendship, he would be the middleman and he's the one that's friends with them. But I just don't see how often they're hanging around, that they're that close of friends that they're hanging out independently of him and he joined them. But I'm with you on that. Like, Austin might be bending the truth a little bit. And we learn more about Austin's lying because Oh, sorry, we didn't mention that there were four guests total, but the fifth guest was Keisha's husband, Brad James. The first half had Austin and Chloe, and the second half had Cameron and Becca. So she tells us that Austin just be lying for no reason. Like, for example, he lied about vaping. And then Brad tried to be deep and all and said, you know, maybe he didn't feel like it was a safe space for him to let you know that he was vaping. And Becca's like, I don't have a problem with him vaping. And there's nothing else to say to that after that.
I feel extra special, Judgy. But I am like, okay, Becca, if he repeatedly lied to you, you knew he was lying about things that you didn't even care about. Is that not a red flag of epic proportions? Not even lying about stuff that you might actually care about. Lying about stuff that you know you don't care about. That is really, really, really a red flag.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if you saw the rumor where it was said that Austin and Becca were going to say no, and then the producers told them to say yes because they needed someone, and that explains why they were the most miserable yes we've ever seen in all of the seasons.
Okay, well then Becca should own that. I'm after party. And so should Austin.
So who knows what's true or not, since we have two different shows going on. So Becca says that, back to present day, that she's wondering what else Austin is lying about, if he lied about the producer. Claire says that Cameron leaving the party, that she just knows that he left because he felt guilty, that he couldn't look her in the eyes. Girl, what? Mm-mm-mm. What are you talking about? First of all, the man has a heart condition, and you guys decided that you were going to raise his heart rate all through. And then on after party, Cameron says that there was a plan. There was a plan that she was going to bring up what happened, and she told Cameron that you should be on the girl's side. And this, again, schoolyard wars is getting exhausting.
Here's a question. I think I know the answer. Did you believe Cameron's version about this specific thing?
Don't put me on the spot, because I think I do.
Oh, me too.
You guys, it really is, like, it's so uncomfortable supporting men, but I don't consider it
supporting men, by the way. It's just looking at the situation and asking yourself, who is acting most honestly? And I'm not even sure that they are acting like most kindly or most, I just think, who is actually telling the truth about what happened? And I 100% believe that Claire was like, oh, we're going to start a fight and you need to be on our side. These girls are petty.
And if in every single situation, Claire is involved, I don't care what it is, just turn it around, spin the needle, you will see that Claire is involved. It just seemed like, was she bored? I don't know. But I kind of believe it because, and the caveat is that we're only basing it on what we were shown, what we observe of their behavior, and what makes the most sense. We understand that we don't have the full scenario, the full picture of what was going on, but it just sounds like something she'll say, hey, we're going to do this, and I just think that we should X, Y, Z. So he already knew what was going to happen. My problem was, like, they kept talking about text messages, and I'm like, yes, Kevin better ask for those messages and the receipts. Let's invade all of the privacy, and let's get those text messages out in the open, because that will settle everything.
I need binders. I need Monique Samuel-style binders for this reunion. I need Lisa Vanderpump blown-ups of text messages so that we can all read them from a mile away. That is what I need.
Yep, and they should submit all those evidence to the producers now so they can scowl through it, and then they can show us the highlights. We are not going to go through it all that time. Like, everything should have been submitted right about now. But, yeah, so, Claire does believe that Cameron leaving meant he felt guilty. So we go back to Chloe and Michael, our lone standing couple. It's 19 days till their decision day. Chloe tells us that she's always wanted an animal sanctuary, and she wanted him to experience this. So they're at a farm called Broken Shovels. He actually posted a cute video of that scene and stuff this week. So they're showing them all the animals, and Chloe really is, she loves animals because she starts crying at the sight of a, they showed like a disabled cow. And then she tells us that she's always wanted to live on a farm and this is her dream in the future. Michael is like, yeah, I've never envisioned that. they talk about foster children, and she said she wants older children, and she's looking at about fostering 5 at a time. And Michael is like, what does that look like? She's like, she wants space for each of them. She wants each of them to have their own bedroom. Michael is very silent about this. And he's like, would we be aligned on this? Because this feels like it requires a different kind of engagement. I'm on the other hand, like, I don't think Chloe has thought this through. Like, she's just had a dream in her head and she's just like vomiting it out, but she hasn't really thought about the reality, because that's a really tall order. Like, what house are they gonna get that has like at least 7 bedrooms if all 5 are gonna have theirs and they're gonna have one? Has she thought about the cost? Has she thought about juggling a whole life with 5 older children who are being fostered?
I think part of my reaction to Chloe's like dreams is like my feelings towards animals versus children. Because I'm like, you want to foster 5 children. You have a beautiful heart. But you, it's like people who say they want 5 kids. You're allowed to want 5 kids, but you need to have an addendum. Like, let me try one, see how it goes, and then we can go from there. Because the reality of 5 foster kids who are all older, who are all teenagers, and it's not like you can just go to the store and pick them out, by the way. Like, fostering, they'll come at you all different times in different places. It sounded nutty. And maybe there was a part where she came back to reality, but that wasn't in this conversation.
Yeah, it definitely was not. And it's kind of amazing how similar she is to Keisha, because an after party, they talk about, because Keisha actually has like a farm and she has talked about how she wants to adopt kids also. So maybe she should have a conversation with Keisha first and see the reality of it and see if she might want to tweak that a little bit. Michael does say, tell her that, yeah, he's just never thought of this before her.
Who has?
Chloe, it seems. So then we move back to Becca. Becca is moving out and Claire comes over. My annoyance with Claire was very high. It has been high all season, but right now identifying her as the villain is just made it worse. So she's talking about packing and she's saying like, yeah, I was done packing. It was just one box. Again, your marriage was done eons ago. You know, do you realize that Claire got to do what Alyssa couldn't do?
Stay in the apartment and hang out with her girlfriends?
Yes, Claire got to have the full experience. She even went on the couple's retreat without a couple. So Becca says, like, Austin says he doesn't understand why he can't have a friend that's a producer. And, you know, they're both like, Claire's like, oh, he doesn't get it. And I'm like, well, neither do we. What is the whole thing with the producer? Why can't he have a friend? What is the whole cameras of the business? Is it? I'm tired of this, people. If they're not going to tell us a story, I'll say it again. The criticism of this season is there's a whole story that we're not getting. There are 2 versions. We're not getting it. What makes it worse is they've decided to go version B or A for after party and version B or A for the main storyline. So we know that there are different versions that we did not get. It's one thing if we don't know anything at all. So it's just pretty exhausting and not fun to watch when we know that there's so much stuff we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So Becca says she doesn't need that kind of person in her life, that she has been that person, that she has been controlling, and she has gaslit people, and she has worked hard not to be that person again, that it will be hard for her to move on because she still, she says, loved Austin, and she thought that they had a shot, but in less than 24 hours, it crumbled. So they talk about the fish, and she says, because Claire asked her if she's taking it. She goes, like, she thought about just taking one, but ethically she should take both. I didn't quite get it, but I think I remembered that one of the fish is named after this so-called producer.
Yes. Well, we know the fish are named after two producers. I don't think it's a stretch that one of them is named after the mystery producer.
Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, she says that she needs a partner that is honest with themselves. That part I agree with. So we see Emily. Emily gets a call from her friend Steph as she packs. She tells her that she's sad and she hates change and hasn't had time to process everything, that she's been crying a lot, but she's excited to grow from this. She tears up in the confessional, and the producer asks her why she is emotional. I really wanted to be like, duh, it's a whole bunch of things. But I get it. She was just trying to get a story from her. But she said it's just been an emotional week for her. Sidebar, moving seems like a pain in the ass. And I can't believe these people have to do it to move in. And then after a few weeks, move out again. And for someone like Emily, who brought everything with her, it just seemed like a pain in the ass.
I think I was confused because I thought that Emily moved somewhere besides where she had left. Like, did she move back into the apartment that she had with the roommate, or did she get a new apartment?
Oh, that's true. She had a roommate. Okay, so when she was with her friend, I did catch her friend say, you're moving into your new place. But I didn't put much stock into it because I was like, when did she find a new place and stuff? So I don't know the story behind that. But yeah. So Becca is helping Emily move, and Becca says something like, it would have been nice to have men help us. They sit down and Emily says all the nice things about Becca and that she will be a lifelong friend for her. Becca says that looking back on the honeymoon, it was like looking at baby them until it slowly unraveled. They both say that they don't want to go out into the dating world until they work on themselves. And, you know, they talk about growth. Like, there's a lot of talk about growth and getting to know themselves better. Emily says that the men treated them that way for a reason, and she has wondered why, and she asked Becca if she has wondered why. They're just trying to take, I guess, the positives from the ending of their relationships. Emily says that a positive for her is that this is her first relationship, and it will help steer her away from the bad ones. Becca tells her that she will be an amazing partner because of the way that she's accepting of criticism, and she's great. So we see Austin move back in with his roommate, Kyla. Was it Kayla or Kyla? I have Kyla down, and I'm wondering if I'm missing a vowel.
I think it's Kyla. I think it was Kyla. I don't know why I think that. I could be wrong.
With Kyla. So, and when he moved in, it honestly hit me that when Nicole was on the show, she was right. I don't think anyone talked about where they were going to live. Because honestly, they all just moved back to their old places seamlessly and quickly. I don't think Kyla got another roommate. Like, who's going to pay the rent for that week, that month? But anyway.
I will say, when Nicole said that, Becca and Austin did have one conversation about where they would live.
They did? What did they decide?
I think they decided they were going to get a place together, but they were the only couple who talked about where they were going to live.
Well, they're the only couple who said yes. So it still tracks, even if they broke up. So he says it sucks coming back without a wife. He says the bigger issue was the process of filming, and then tells her the whole story of decision day. And he does admit that he did lie to her. And he says that it's the worst day he has ever experienced in over 10 years. Honestly, when reality people say shit like this, I'm always like, oh, it must be nice to have such a charmed life that whatever issue it is that you're dealing with is the worst day of their lives. So, I don't know.
I agree with that. It sounds so melodramatic.
But he was very specific, too, in the last 10 years. Not his whole life, just the last 10 years.
I'm like, so did you lose your last grandparent 10 years ago? Because, like, anyway.
So he says he reached out to her after, and that was a mistake too. And I'm confused because I thought Becca says he didn't reach out.
I'm going to give everybody the benefit of the doubt here. There was decision day. Then there was the pizza party that was the day after decision day. Then there was the day after the pizza party. That day, I don't think any of the guys reached out. Sometime after filming, no one's called us. And the end of the day, I guess he did call her.
Okay, we can do that. He said that she felt like he should have taken the time to reflect on everything. And Kyler is like, yeah, but that's what you were doing. And Austin, for once, tells the truth. And he was like, yeah, no, I wasn't. I wasn't reflecting. I was just disconnected. And he says she was expecting an apology. And once he reached out and didn't start with an apology, it was over. And his roommate is like, well, as a woman, that's understandable. Like, I can understand where she's coming from. He says that she wanted to disconnect from him immediately, like unfollow from Instagram and all that stuff. He turns really bright red and he just says that it's the hardest time. And what's harder is that she doesn't have faith in their relationship. That, you know, she said she was excited to hear her friends talk about his loyalty, but now, like, it's not going to be the case. And it just really sounded like he was worried about what they think about him, which kind of tracks, I guess. But he tears up and she gives him a hug and he says he doesn't know where he goes from here.
I mean, you're moving back in with Kylie. Well, I'm confused. I'm like, go from where here? Your relationship is over, dude.
Yeah, it is. So Brennan is with his friend Chris and they're getting a beer at the bar and Brennan just says, oh, that bartender was cute. And then he's like, oh, I'm single. So the friend said, I thought you said divorce was not an option. He goes, well, yeah. When I was miserable, I had to put my pride aside and come to terms. I don't think pride is the right term here, but okay. He says the experience hasn't poisoned his idea of marriage and he'll take time for himself. And then his friend asked him, what is he more on the lookout for? He said it has taught him how to ask more questions and get deeper. And he asked if he has any regrets. He says no, he did care for her, but there were moments where he was looking through the diary cam for memories, and there was one where she was talking shit about him, and he asked her to delete it, and somehow that became her accusing him of being controlling. And speaking of controlling, can we talk about the part in After Party where Keisha brings this up and says those are heavy accusations and that, you know, some words were being used, controlling, silenced. I don't know what the last one was. There was a third
gaslighting.
One. Gaslighting and all of that. And that is when Cameron drops a bomb. And I think I will let you do the honors, Aiden.
You guys, let's see if I can do this. So Cameron, first he says that every time he heard those words being used against him, he was like, but that, basically that's what happened to me though. Like, I'm being accused of these things that actually happened to me. Then he has a thing where he explains to us that all of the covering up storylines or coming up with storylines to justify why he and Claire were not going to work out actually came from Claire, not from him. And then Becca pipes in and is like, no, you're the one. I have text messages where you tell her, here's what we're going to say and here's what we're going to come up with. And he's like, well, I have text messages too, and not the doctored ones you have that tell the whole story of her saying things like, oh, you're the smarter one. You can come up with the stories better. Somewhere in between the two of them is the truth, I'm sure. What do you think, Tane?
I feel like you keep putting me on the spot, but Cameron just seems like he's saying the truth, but it sounds that way because that's who we're listening to. And until Claire comes on to say her part, I will say this though. Every time reality show people accuse people of doctoring texts, it just seems like a lot of work that I don't know how true that is.
I think doctoring is like a bit much. I think what happens is a screenshot can only fit so many text messages. Mm-hmm. So if I send you a screenshot of a text message conversation, if there's other stuff that may not be in your favor, maybe you leave that out.
Yeah. Yeah. So just convenient screenshot sending or whatever. But I just, I'm not a fan of how much, is the word animosity? And I'm not saying like there shouldn't be animosity, but it's just the way it's like one gang against the other gang. And it's like, they were all individual journeys. So, and everyone now thinks that they have to be on the defense. And in that defense is where things are being flung around and everyone's becoming reckless. And in Cameron trying to defend himself, that's when he threw out that Emily cheated.
And Keisha's like, what?
Yeah.
We'll talk about the cheating, but I just want to... The interesting thing about the Cam Claire thing is I think neither one of them looks that great. And I think they're both equally guilty of trying to make things look good. I doubt they're the first couple to do this, but mm-hmm. both of them, and I think mainly her, because I think she felt the need to get on the bandwagon with her girls. You don't either one of you look good. You both did this, and now you're trying to accuse the other one of being the cause when it's something that you clearly did together.
And that's been part of the thing, is like individually, what decision would they have made? But it seemed like when they were all together with the girls, they felt like they had to be all, I can prove that I can move on or whatever. Because we're going to see later where Emily is talking about, oh, I still love, was I quick to judge or whatever. But are you just trying to show off to say, I can be strong, like no man's going to make a fool of me, blah, blah, blah. But what would you have done by yourself if you were on your own? So I don't know, it's getting messy. So yeah, I'm surprised that Keisha did not know about the cheating. She genuinely seems surprised.
He dropped, and that was the other strange thing, maybe he was being calculating, but he dropped it like it was nothing, or he dropped it like something he thought everybody in the room already knew about.
Yeah, it's just reckless. Because again, we're not getting context. Because I do think that what she did really well was throw it straight to Becca. Becca, what do you have to say about this? Because
you know, they're watching out for you. There's no way that the answer would be like Becca being like, oh, I don't know anything about this. All of them know everything about everything.
Because they're one group. And Cameron was like, oh, she was there. So Cameron was just all gloves off and all that kind of stuff, because Keisha had to even tell him, like, let her speak, like, you know, all that. So she does say that it was true, that after she got messages, and apparently Brandon was doing the same thing, and she was just angry, and she went out, she met an Australian, and then they started making out. But then she made a comment where she said, like, in this context, it's like, it's not a big deal or something. Like, you know, Cameron is just saying this to deflect, something to that effect. And I'm like, guys, you know that if it was the other way around, like, it would be like this huge thing. But something they're also not telling us is, at what stage in the marriage did this happen?
I would say that is some key information that would be good to know.
Yeah.
The timing is very important, but it almost... When do we think Brennan checked out of the marriage? The day after she came over to see his house.
Oh, I thought it was after. Okay, yeah, after the honeymoon. Like, by the honeymoon, he was already checking out.
So, I guess I'm just like, what does... I think the hypocrisy is always what gets people. If Emily, we had found out that she made out with some guy, would it be a little bit scandal? Yes. But it's the fact that she and Claire made a very big deal about this comment about a double date that actually did not ever actually happen. Mm-hmm. When in that freak out was she making out with a dude from Australia? Which I loved that little tidbit.
And then the second part is, so Cameron said this in defense of why he didn't want it coming out. He claimed that he was trying to do it to protect Emily. That part I do not believe. Everybody's so self-serving this season. He said he was doing that because if you bring out anything, it's going to start throwing dirt and it's going to come out that she did that or whatever. So he told Claire, don't say it. And Claire was like, I don't know, what'd she say? I don't care. Like, cheaters get what's coming to them, I guess is what she said. And he's like, what kind of friend is that? This is my question. How did Cameron get the information that she kissed somebody else?
Do we think that he's having random conversations with the other girls? He got it from Claire.
Exactly.
The same way Claire got the information about the double date that never was.
Exactly. Which is why I think she's the villain. And I'm just like, if you were truly being a friend and she's mad and she's whatever, why would you even share that information knowing it would get to Brennan? Why give Brennan ammunition? Okay, yeah, cheating is bad, guys. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But I'm just, you know, in this situation, if Brennan was really, truly cheating and all that stuff, like, why not just, and we're all talking about solidarity and being friends, why would you share that information with anybody? Why would he go outside of the circle?
Now, remember in that after party where Emily was like talking a little shit about Claire and how Claire was acting like everything was good with Cameron when she was in her own stuff? And we were like, why is she like hostile a little to Claire? That's odd. Might it be because Claire told Cameron about her making out with the Australian?
We shall never know. Oh, we might at the reunion. We don't know. I mean, they're all good now, it seems. They're all the best of friends, but I would like to know how they moved past all that. Well, they didn't film together. Claire and Becca who filmed, but who knows? But we need more information, honestly. But also, I'm sorry, going back to your point of if everybody in the room knew, when they switched to the second half, I wondered why Brad didn't have first chair. I mean, I wondered why he had first chair the first hour, but then when he was in the middle in the second hour, I'm like, why did they move it? But when Cameron dropped two bombs, I was like, ah, okay. And they needed a buffer to not sit side by side with each other. Anyways, he says that he feels, this is going back to Brennan and his friend, he says that he feels hurt and he doesn't feel the need to see her again. And his friend is like, I don't think he has closure. He's going to regret it. I was like, does Brennan look like he needs closure? No, I don't think so. But also, I'm always very surprised when people like Brennan, who seem like so miserable to film, agree to be filmed beyond, you know, after decision day. Like, I would be like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. Speaking of, we didn't see Lauren with the other girls. I don't know if that means anything, but we didn't see her film with them.
I don't know either.
Yeah. So, Chloe and Michael, they go to a bar. They're being very flirty. I'm living for their flirtiness. He's staring intensely at her. She beckons him with her finger. They kiss. And then they laugh. And then she laughs. I kind of don't like when she laughs. Anytime they're like in a romantic setting and she starts laughing, it's always like, why are you laughing? It's a sexy time. Like, you know. But Michael tells us in a confessional, like after the sex store, no pun intended, they slid right into having sex, and sex with her was great. And I'm like, Chloe and Michael saved the season from a dry spell. Michael says, okay, let's talk about the immediate future since they live in small apartments. Like, what are the things that are priorities for her? She says, we have 5 animals, so size and parking. Her lease is up in December. She asks about them living together. He's like, yo, I think maybe we do 4 to 5 days together and then 2 days to recharge. I'm like, you know, that sounds like a good plan because she's the one who says she needs to recharge. But she didn't seem enthusiastic about that, which I was surprised by, actually, because I didn't know if he was suggesting that because of her need to recharge. But she also didn't say anything when he said that. So she wonders, like, if we did that, are we going to feel married or is it going to fizzle out? He's like, I'm not worried about that. And brings up, like, the time that she left. Like, most people would be like, you know, what the fuck? But for them, it's, like, what they needed to keep their marriage on track. She doesn't really say where she stands, but she asks him, is there anything that gives him pause? Like, this is a safe space, and she should say what scares him. He says, I'm not scared of an animal sanctuary, but having 500 animals scares me. I'm not scared about fostering, but fostering 5 kids scares me. So it's more the intensity than the idea. So
this man said it's more the intensity than the scope, and I loved him for that.
It is. Like, it was such a good way of putting it. But but yeah, so I don't know that they came to a resolution, but I am glad that he spoke his mind rather than saying, we'll figure it out. So,
yeah. I feel like Michael and Chloe had a switch here where for the first time, I felt like Chloe was more into this than Michael.
Yep. Absolutely. I saw that too. And that kind of scared me. But doesn't that always happen? Like, the guy so into them, and then they're not, and then the girl finally switches, is on the same page. It's like, and I've read this somewhere, it's as a joke, but it's like, what's the fastest way to scare a guy? Show him that you're into him. Once you show a guy you're into them, they're like, oh my God, she actually likes me. No, make it stop. And then they start acting funny. So, go ahead.
I didn't think it was that. I think Michael, up until now, has been all about accentuating the positives and ignoring reality a little. And I think he's just like, you know, he was doing, what is it, Real World, when people stop being whatever and start getting real?
Yes, but I do think they face some real life situations. And he's just never had that shift. So, and I guess seeing it play out, and for the first time seeing him have some kind of doubts, I didn't like that. It scared me.
You didn't like it? Oh, I liked it.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll take a break.
I think it will lead them to reality. I think it will lead them to reality, which is where they need to be.
Okay. Okay. All right, we'll take a break and discuss this some more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, guys, we come back to Becca on FaceTime with her friend. At the same time, Austin is meeting up with his friend to discuss, I don't know, the aftermath of their so-called relationship. So Becca tells her friend that she needs to send a Venmo for business. And the implication that she makes is that her business is not, she's not been as focused because she's been too busy with Austin. And she says that she never, well, her friend says, I never thought that you would be in a relationship that would require that much time and energy. I was like, it wasn't just the relationship. It was the whole reality TV show that she was filming at the same time.
Thank you. I was like, I understand. Like, it's not a regular relationship. It's condensed in 8 weeks. There's filming. There's required meetups. It's not regular life. Like, what are we saying here?
And maybe that was code word for the friend. Like, I thought you would invest a lot into this whole process and get something out of it, and lo and behold, not so much. Her friend is like sad that it didn't turn out the way that she wanted, but time and energy was being taken away from stuff that Becca cares about, and I don't know if that was her business or something else.
I don't know either.
Austin's with his friends and he tells them it's been a roller coaster, lots of ups and downs, but it ended on a down note and it's been tough. The lack of specificity and sort of that description is very much how Austin, I feel like, talks. His friend is like, oh, I don't want you to be too hard on yourself. Becca does this thing where she's like, I know that I can be critical and I have high expectations. And she's just worried that that's what she did to Austin. By the way, Becca's wearing a shirt that says, I'm sensitive.
Self-awareness?
Maybe. And I think it's fine to be sensitive. Her friend says that if she had been less, I don't know what, the, like critical or whatever, it wouldn't have changed anything. The way you grow is to talk about things, and he shut down. His friends ask him if he would have done anything differently, and he says a lot. Once again, there was no specificity.
Yeah.
He talks about... Sorry,
Do you remember in the very beginning when he was with his groomsmen on his wedding day, and we were wondering, like, is Austin just a playful guy, or is he like a man-child? Like, someone who just never matured and never grew up to adulthood. I think I remembered that because I'm thinking, like, Austin has a lot of growing up to do.
I think he does. There is a lack of accountability, I think, in his conversations with his friends, especially about exactly how it ended. Because I'm willing to say, no matter what happened with the producer, Austin lied. And I believe Becca that he has a pattern of lying, mainly to remove himself from having to have any uncomfortable conversations.
Yes, he does not like conflict. And am I making this up, but this just came to me. Did Austin say that he and Becca had discussed saying no?
I believe he said that in after party.
Yeah, and he was surprised when she said yes.
This is the least surprising news, because we all believe they should have said no. And the only reason he said yes is because she said yes.
Yeah.
So thanks for clearing that up, Austin.
Yeah, and the other thing he also said in after party, speaking of you saying he doesn't take accountability, he said he has not been watching the episodes. It's a pet peeve of mine when reality show people say I'm not watching. Because you don't get to see from a different point of view what I know they say, oh, we lived it, but it's not exactly the same. But you don't get to see a different point of view, so you can kind of see, like, oh, maybe I could have done this better. Maybe I could have done that better. And I understand he should protect his mental health if it's going to affect him, but I was just very surprised that he said he had not been watching himself.
Apparently, it sounds like he's been having people filter back parts of the show to him through their eyes, or maybe they tell him specific scenes he should watch. I don't know. But it is, I agree with Tane. If you're on a show, you have to watch yourself. How else will you do all this learning and growing that you people like to talk about?
Yep, and he said he's been hearing only good things. I was like, Austin, come on.
That's why you should have watched it. So this is where he tells his friends and us that he has talked to her after the argument. They talked about what they wanted in their future, and they realize there's no salvaging this. So he talks to his friend, they talk to their friend, and basically they both tell their friends, no way this could work, growth, change, lessons.
I found it interesting that he didn't tell his friends the intimacy part. They've all shifted now to this whole I lied and all that stuff, but the whole intimacy part has been removed from me because that is a big thing that will make someone feel insecure.
What do you think maybe the intimacy thing is seen differently now?
No, because he never quite told her why. He just kept telling her on Monday at 6 o'clock, Friday at 2 o'clock. And he never said, no, I don't want this not to happen. So I don't see it differently, you know? She was living in vagueness. There was no answer. She had no idea why.
I wish people, like, so when Becca talked in After Party about how much Austin lied, if it was something that was happening way before producer decision day, da da da, why did we never see you guys addressing that? Or was lying just put under optics? Was optics always code word for lying and then we missed it?
That's the part where I blame the producers. I'm sorry. There's no way they can have caught any of that. They could have given us like a montage of lies. Like, they're just hiding a whole bunch of stuff and just tell us the true story.
I would like to know the true story too. But anyway. So Orion and Lauren are hanging out. Lauren mentions how she told Orion, like, if you want to hang out, you need to call me. And she wants to give him credit because he did call her to go play dodgeball with cameras around. Which makes me think this is once again, because we know that by the time they're shooting After Party, they're not speaking. So I feel like this was another of Orion's camera things. And so they went and played dodgeball. She says it's a fun way to take out past aggression and get shots off on her ex-husband. Lauren wins because she shot him 3 times and he hit her once. Is this an activity you would ever do? This was arrow dodgeball.
No, I would not do it. And the minute I saw them, I wanted to switch my brain off because I hate this for her. She should never, ever, ever see Orion in her life again.
I'm in agreement. We'll move along. So after they're done shooting at each other, they sit down. He asks her how she's doing. She's like, I'm doing well, better than before, better than when I came into the process. Yeah, it didn't work, but there was growth. It's a blessing or a lesson. And they talk about a blessing or a lesson. She says she feels blessed. He says he feels blessed. He got a hard lesson. He says that she didn't ask, by the way, but he did say that he's doing good too. Lauren asks if he's dating, and he says he's not quite done in the process. They talk about friendship, and then she asks him, does he want to be more than friends? And he doesn't give a definite answer, and she agrees to, like, go mull it over. It was just a very classic Orion and Lauren conversation where I just don't understand what we're saying, what we're doing, or why I have to listen.
Yep. Agreed.
I did like when Lauren said that her efforts might be used better elsewhere. To Orion.
Yeah, but you know, let's put in action. And those efforts involve not seeing him.
So it always annoys me that poor Michael and Chloe have to spend time with the people who have already ended their marriages and have not a single useful bit of advice to offer them. Poor Michael, who I'm sure is friendly with Cameron, so maybe he doesn't feel as badly for himself as I do for him, is forced, and I say forced because I believe the producers did it, to call Cameron to rehash the stupid pizza party that he and his spouse probably were just like, Lord, get us out of here.
It was such a weird choice for Michael to call. We just need to protect Chloe and Michael. But, you know, got to keep the story moving, huh?
Next week's preview is literally like a firing squad where Chloe is facing all 3 of the malcontents, as I will call them. And I'm like, I don't know what value there is in her doing this. We'll find out next week. Though we won't be talking about it on the podcast. We'll talk about it the week later.
Yeah.
Cameron defends his position. He tells Michael that he never told Claire she couldn't say anything. It's always been her saying, please make sure we don't talk about XYZ on calendar, on camera. And he has watched Claire be Emily's puppet master, where everything Emily was doing was being coordinated by Claire. And that could have been his marriage. But every step of the way, Claire has lied to get some reaction, and he's now very glad he's divorcing Claire, and he has no intentions of ever speaking to her again.
Besides the weird camera angle, I really laughed out loud when Michael said the pizza party was a shootout, because, you know, that was the best way to describe it. But I do want to deviate, because Emily put some stuff on her Instagram story about this, about after party and what Cameron said. She goes, oh, they always call the trio of men the Tweedles. And that's Cameron, Brennan, and Austin. And she says the Tweedles conspiring together again, and master manipulator Cam is trying to use Claire's narrative as his own. And basically, like, what Cameron said is a lie, and it's the other way around. And then she says, me cheating, in quotes, versus Brennan's cheating examples, many, many S's, is not apple-to-apple situation. And then she goes, wait until you find out which friend told Brennan about this one. So are we wrong that it's Claire?
Which friend do you think it could be?
I thought it was Claire. I don't know. Is it, I don't know who else it could be. Is it Austin? I don't know. I just thought the guys didn't know. Is it Chloe? Is that why? But then that would be later on in the experiment. But anyways, that's what she says. And then she goes, oh, and Keisha Knight Pulliam silencing us women and gaslighting us on national TV about us being gaslit, plus bringing her husband on to have backup to double team bullying us girls, hashtag buzzwords, and then I am back to being absolutely disgusted, hashtag women should support women.
I am like in shock. And I will say, I think there's a big enough sample size of cast members who have been on After Party who not everybody has been like, I love Keisha. You know, Alyssa comes to mind.
Yes.
But the majority of the cast members say, Keisha's really nice. Keisha, like, they don't have bad things to say. So I'm not really trusting this narrative that Keisha did anything besides her job, which is to ask you guys questions, to ask the guys questions. The only woman on there last night was Becca. So I guess she's referring to Becca as being ganged up upon by Keisha and Brad. Look, guys, I'm not buying this. Maybe I'm too much of a fan of Keisha, but I'm not buying it.
And it's just tough. And I always figured that we would eventually get to this point. Like in the beginning, we're all like, you know, Keisha's just doing her job, trying to get this. But it's going to get to a point where you can't be neutral, I guess. And she does do her best. But again, it's just we're working with what we're being fed. And this is tough. I just hate that we're in this position.
The other trap that Keisha kind of has to fall into is she has to get both sides where at all possible.
Yeah.
She can't just have people on the show saying whatever, and not even everything gets followed up with. But I do think that's part of her thing is like, if you say something, then the other person gets a chance to respond. Allowing Cameron to say his piece on After Party, asking questions when he says things that require follow-up, is not bullying anybody. It's just allowing Cameron to say what he wants to say. Is Keisha supposed to say, no, you're lying, don't say that? So that Emily's stuff doesn't come out?
Yeah, you're literally on the show to do that. And I just, maybe what she got pissed off about was when she was saying those are strong accusations, but that's not a lie. And there's only a certain tone you can take when you're not part of that. And I think a very strong thing with all the cast, honestly, not just the women, is they're leaning very heavily as if feelings are facts. But feelings are not facts. You can feel a certain way about things. You're allowed to feel that way, but it doesn't mean that it's correct. And a prime example is the whole, we watched Cameron and Claire have a conversation, and honestly, both of them could have an experience, and the way both of them would talk about it, we saw that with our own eyes, would be two completely different things. And he brought that up in the fight, like, why is it so far-fetched that what I said about the double dating could be misunderstood a different way, because we never see things the same way. So because we saw that, that's what we add to the context when we get all this information. So it's just exhausting trying to figure out. It's like watching volleyball or tennis. We're watching them go side, left, right. Who said what? What is true? What is not? But there are cameras. Why don't we know the truth?
The cameras don't get everything. And then what? I mean, this is, like you said, feelings and facts. I'm perfectly content, I think, with the women feeling a way about this experience or feeling a way about the guys and how they were treated. I think the problem that I have is the collective, to where everything now is a collective experience. It's not just that Becca had an experience with Austin. No, Becca had the same experience with Austin that Claire had with Cameron, that Emily had with Brennan. And I just don't buy that to be true.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to when Emily is on to hear her side, and then also the reunion, because they keep dropping nuggets. And even after Cameron's bombs, Keisha was like, okay, we're just going to take a break. And then that was it. Really? Maybe they were like, we need to save something for the reunion.
Well, Cameron dropped his bomb, and then Emily got to respond to his bomb, and, you know.
And that was it. I don't think he, like, really, like, closed off well.
And the stuff he said about Claire being Emily's puppet master, he said that to Michael, who has no idea what's going on. Michael even says, oh, because Cameron's like, oh, sorry for dumping all this. And Michael's like, oh, totally fine to vent. And that's exactly what it is, a vent, because Michael doesn't have any input into anything that Cameron's saying. He can't refute it. He can't deny it because he wasn't there. He's just like, okay, I'll listen to you. Mm-hmm. So then Cameron remembers that, like, someone actually has an active relationship still going, not just bitterness. And it's like, so how? I heard on the grapevine that you guys are doing really well. And Michael's like, yeah, you heard right. Through the journey, things have been primarily good. And Cam's like, oh, that's awesome. Michael talks about his emotional growth and navigating emotions and coming to decision day with a very clear answer. And that just begs a lot of questions. How do we fit into each other long term, specifically how he's feeling? Does he feel like he's coming out at the end, not to just foster a marriage, but this marriage? Cameron said, let's be less serious about the marriage part so it comes back naturally. I didn't feel like Cameron had great advice here. He just doesn't have the range or the experience.
I would be lying to you if I understood what the hell they were saying. He kept going on. First of all, I was already sad because Michael, for the first time, was not sounding as positive as he usually sounded. He's like, I'm more, not concerned. He said, like, more thinking about how I feel. And I'm like, what is he trying to say? And then when Cameron just started talking, I'm like, I have no idea where this conversation is headed or what it's even about. So
they talk about how decision day is not asking, do you want to continue to date? Do you want to continue to focus on this marriage? Cameron's like, I'm the person who's going to say yes no matter what. I don't think Michael's that person. He says he wants all the tools so that he can make a good decision on decision day and that they're trying to make it work, but it's hard. Michael and Chloe go to a beer spa. Let me tell you people, I read the sign beer spa, but did it take me until after party to understand that when they were in that tub, it was beer?
Yes, ma'am. That was me too. And the first thing out my mouth was, ew, disgusting. Why would a woman sit in hot beer? And Keisha's question was my first thought also.
It's also like beer doesn't smell good. Why would I want to bathe in something that doesn't smell good?
And for context, Keisha's question was, is that good for your vagina?
I think she just is like, the yeast?
Yes.
Chloe was on after party, and she didn't report anything specific being bad about it. I'm just saying she must have been all right, right?
Yeah, but she just didn't seem thrilled about it. She said she didn't think about it until I think Keisha mentioned it. So you're right. It was fine for her. I mean, her husband was there sitting naked.
And that was a moment where Michael tells us that he needs to take off his shorts because it sounded like he was saying because it's just so dang hot. He's like, maybe it won't make a difference, but I need to take these off. So he takes, and we did see him take them off.
I thought it was his underwear, actually.
She was in a bathing suit, so I assumed he was in some sort of bathing suit.
Oh, that's fair.
So she, at the time, while they're sitting in the beer hotness, Chloe says she feels happy and peaceful, and this is the healthiest relationship she's been in her entire life. He says he feels very fond of the person in front of him. I was like, Michael, that is a word choice.
I know. I'm telling you, my heart, with every scene they had of theirs, it just kept sinking. Because we know Michael and his words. And when you say, oh, I'm fond of, it's like you're petting an animal and rubbing their back. Like, oh, you're so cute.
So, like, you're fond of your great Aunt Gertrude, not your wife.
Oh, yoy. Especially after you've had sex. Oof. Anyways.
He says that this marriage has been a taste of what it's like to have someone who's perpetually and unequivocally has your back. She asked what he wanted that he didn't get. I don't think that they should be having those conversations. Although she's already said, I didn't expect or I didn't some, you know, a few episodes ago when we were talking about his style, she sort of already answered this question. So I thought it was interesting that the question was now turned onto him.
Yeah.
So she, he says, I didn't ask for someone who wants an animal sanctuary.
Oh boy.
Mainly because who's going to think to say no animal? I mean, I would say that, but who else who has, you know, three pets would say, oh, no animal sanctuaries. But at least he loves animals. He asked her the same question and she says, she came in asking for an empathetic man who wanted to love me. She said 6'3 with yoga muscles who goes to Whole Foods. I was a little bit confused by her like thought here.
That was very specific.
And then she says, and you're 5'11 with boxing muscles, but it works. It seemed nice. I didn't think she should have said this at this point in their relationship.
What? Really?
It felt like a compliment, but it also, like, I don't think it's a good idea to tell someone that they're shorter than you asked for.
I mean, she started out with, I mean, I want to give the benefit of that, that they're both mature people. And she did start, like, first and foremost, the first thing I asked for was someone who was empathetic and kind. And I got that. And then I asked for yoga. I think her whole point was, like, you can ask for what you want, but sometimes the things that you actually like don't come in the same package, and it's fine. I'm always so confused about this type of conversations, honestly. I just, after a certain age, man, like, you can have a preference, yeah, but you can't be so married to a type.
I mean, I just think women probably have less of a type than men do.
You'd be surprised. I've heard some very specific types. But I agree. I see what you're saying. Women are more flexible when it comes to stuff. Like, I think women have types. But then, oh, but he's kind and he's this and that. Okay, that's fine. It's not terrible. But men are like, nope, she got to have a dunk. Oh, she got to be petite. Oh, she got to be, nope, I'm not budging on that. That's how I see it.
Chloe says that she does feel like they're starting to feel like they're each other's person. And he says, you mean in love? He thinks so. He thinks one day they could be in love. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
She says she wants to make sure they're aligned, and she asked if decision day was tomorrow, what's he going to say? He says that he feels like they're trending to a yes. Not only are they, do they need to solidify and create their communication and sustaining and progress, there's a lot of words, but he does say not just continue dating, I want to continue in this marriage, which is a significant level up. So, but then she said, was saying, so if decision day was a no, and he says no, insufficient data. She thanks him for his honesty. This is, to me, some pure bullshit editing, by the way.
Oh.
Because she thanks him for his honesty. Okay, good. And then she says this kind of sarcastic, like, happy 1 month anniversary. But I think it's only sarcastic in the context of that conversation. And I think she said it much later in their conversation.
Oh, okay, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
So what did you... I think insufficient data at your 1 month anniversary is not a bad answer. He said a lot of stuff about how he likes her.
Yes, he did. But if she's... I don't know about the editing, but if she's interpreting it the way I see it, this man just called her the candle and the sun and the thing and the selfless person on the earth, a much better human, and was just so effusive about the compliments he had for her. And then all of a sudden saying, oh, insufficient data, and I don't know what you're thinking and all that. It's a huge turn for me. It just didn't, he's saying nice things, yeah, it just didn't feel good. Nice words are coming out his mouth, but as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh no, what is happening?
Why didn't we get to see her answer to the same question?
I don't know. They're the only couple they have to edit, I guess, and they like a good fake out.
Moving on, all I can say is Emily and Becca went and got their auras read. As a person who's not into the woo-woo stuff in general, honestly, if they had went and gotten their signs read, if they had gotten their palms read, if they had gotten their tea leaves read, I would probably put more stock in it than this weird aura business where this woman tells them everything they would like to hear. Do you have any thoughts on anything they heard at the auras?
Pause. I just wanted to ask, did you feel the same way with Jasmina and Michael?
I did. Y'all can go back.
Okay. I'm still waiting for Jasmina's twins. But honestly, I don't want to. No, I did not get anything that I felt, because it was all nice things. And I'm just, it's a reality TV show. It's very hard to believe that. But this was the point where I kind of thought, like, am I missing this, Aid? Have the women taken any accountability, or is there any accountability they should be taking for anything? Or has it just completely been the guys suck, it was all their fault, and I'm just gonna be a better person? But have we heard anything specific besides when Emily said she can be less reactive, which I didn't know what they were referring to, because I don't know that we saw Emily being reactive. The one time she was reactive at the restaurant with Brennan, she had to be, well, twice. She had a right to be. So do you think the women have been accountable? And is there anything they should be accountable for?
I think Becca has taken strides to be accountable for her stuff. But I think most of the time when I hear Becca, my frustration is that she kept on plowing through, ignoring signs that she should not be plowing through. Mm-hmm. That's not the most fatal of character flaws, but it does, you know, get you set up to end up where she is now.
Okay. It was just a thought as they were going through all that.
So Chloe and Michael sit down with Dr. Pia. They're in not matching plaid, but they're both in plaid. I took that as a good sign. Mm-hmm. So Michael asks Chloe if she's scared, and she says she is not scared, she's just on edge. And so in an interview, Chloe is like, I don't know where me and Michael are. She thought they were doing great, but then she posed the question about decision day, and Michael says, I don't know. And she doesn't know about all the things he was talking about because she thought they were doing well. I'm just happy that Chloe is like raw, honest, and invested.
Yeah. I think it's the closest to, we've been saying we don't know where she stands, but her even being scared about not knowing where they stand gives us an inkling as to where she's leaning. So that's good.
What do you think she's leaning towards? A yes?
Oh, leaning towards liking Michael. I'm sorry. Because okay. I just didn't know if she liked him or not, but her caring about where she stands with him shows that, you know, she's actually liking him.
Agreed. So, in their, like, sit down with Dr. Pia, Michael talks about how they are fortunate that they don't have a misaligning of values and perspectives, like where they could live or budgeting. I'm like, these people have talked about budgeting? They are aligned. Dr. Pia knows stuff, so she asks about family. And Michael talks about what we already know, which is, well, we weren't sure at this point, but when he was on After Party and a previous episode, he did talk about how he's not planning on telling his mom about him being married. And we learned that he doesn't plan to tell her until after decision day. And Dr. Pia is like, are you sure that's a, you know, a good idea, basically? And Chloe is pretty quick to jump in there and be like, I am in agreement with him on this decision. And I was like, is this a good thing or a bad thing that she's okay with his mom not knowing that he's married?
I don't know why Dr. Pierre acted like she did not know this. She was all, wait. You don't know? She doesn't know that you're not married? It was on an episode when they had dinner during their honeymoon. So why was she acting shocked?
I mean, maybe she didn't get, I know that they get clips, but they don't get everything. So maybe she just didn't get that one.
That's an important one. There's a reason why she asked that question. So I just wanted that.
Then there's transition to the discussion about leases and where are they going to live. And Dr. Pia, which I'm glad she says it, she's like, it's not a good idea to live separately. She's like, you guys are married. So, yeah, figure this out. Michael says he's never been married and he has to hone into his emotions. He says he has to work through a checklist. Like, do I like her? Do I want to be with her? Oof. And he knows that he trusts that she'll be there. And like, he answers yes to his checklist of questions. So I'm like, if the answer is yes to all your questions, why are we waffling on decision day? What is going on there, Michael?
Yeah, especially when he says, I know what I want to feel. And the unsaid part is, I don't feel it yet. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then my heart just sank to the bottomest part. But Dr. Pia was not letting them slide at all. So, you know, maybe she brings out an honesty.
Chloe says that they should be living together. But she also says that this is the most mature and fulfilling and satisfying relationship that she's been in. Dr. Pia says that their responses seem curated. And she basically says, it's okay for you guys to lie to me, to lie to the camera, to lie to the production, but just don't be lying when we're not here.
Chloe says
that she doesn't care about what people think. She wants to be raw and vulnerable and leave with this person. And Dr. Pia wants him to be more honest and like examine whether Chloe is being people-pleasing. And whether there's stuff that they've been holding back. And you know what? I think Dr. P is right about, I think there are things that they've been holding back. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that they stop that and it still all works out.
Yeah, I think that they should, but I also, it begs the question, what is the line between, you know, earlier you asked, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That, you know, the mom doesn't know, or maybe they don't want to, they have their plan for living separately. Because when she asked, what is the main reason for that? I don't know why they didn't just say money. Because, I mean, I'm assuming that's the reason why. Unless they can afford to pay two rents and a mortgage or whatever. But anyways, what is the line? Where do you draw the line between a customized relationship, meaning we're doing what works for us, versus, oh, this is a red flag. What is the difference? Because when he proposed the 4 days, 2 days, I didn't feel any type of way. I'm like, okay, she needs to recharge. They're grown. They're secure. He doesn't have any problems. It's fine. But then I was remembering Noi and Steve's relationship, when they wanted to live apart, I'm like, yeah, red flag, not working. So what is the difference between, and that's when Dr. Pepper was like, I don't live with my husband, and that's what we do that works for us. But I think she also said, I've been married for a long time too, so that's different. But why, I think I was checking myself. Why didn't I feel like this was a red flag? And even with the not telling the mom, especially when you come from a different culture, I understand that and I applaud Chloe for even being understanding. But for anybody else, I really feel I'd be like, there's a reason why he don't want to tell his mama. Like, maybe he knows it's not going to work out, so he's not going to waste her time on that. So those are the questions I was asking myself. Like, yeah.
I think he gets a little bit of not a pass, but an understanding with the mom thing, because he told his mom about the first wedding that didn't happen.
Yeah, but there's 19 days left. If you're really confident in your relationship, at what point do you say, Mom, I have something to tell you. Like, there's someone we met, I did it again, and I really like her, and I think this whatever. Wouldn't you not still tell because you're still unsure?
I guess.
So,
but it's funny that, I will say this. There's something to be said for a united front. So even if Chloe has misgivings about this mom thing, the fact that she was like, oh, if Dr. P is going to challenge him on this, I want to make sure she understands that we are a united front on this decision. I'm like, that bodes well for your marriage.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I applaud her. But I'm just like, is this, you know, we're accusing Becca of overlooking red flags, but where is the line? Where, yeah, to have a united front all, Becca could argue that that's what she was doing with her and Austin. But should she be concerned? But I think,
sure.
The ultimate thing is we're giving them passes because we like them. That's just human. That's just human nature work. They earned equity in the whole maturity of their relationship and Michael saying and doing the right thing. So we're giving them passes. That's really the answer to the question.
Dane, I really appreciate you saying that because I just have my rose colored glasses on with these two because I actually like both of them. Chloe's very interesting. I think she's a nut, but she's interesting. And they're both acting so nice. And they keep on showing up to the nonsense that the other people coming to and just, oh, we're just going to see. Yeah, they have a lot going for them as people.
Yeah. I think my last line was like, well, 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 who would have thought that Michael would be the one to have a slight turn in heart? I didn't see that coming, but that's how I feel. I'm sorry. After this episode, because he's just been so full of praise and everything. And this was the first time I actually felt him kind of retreat a little bit. And the previous didn't help.
I'm hoping it's a rebalancing.
What do you mean?
I don't think it's crazy that when one person is really into it and the other person seems to not fully be on board, then they get on board. There's this time period where you're like, wait a second. They just took me for a little bit of a ride. I'm going to pull back a little. But then you might go back in. Who knows?
Well, the previews were interesting. And the previews were also interesting, not because of Michael, but because it looks like Becca is doubting herself about ending things with Austin. And I'm just like, see, that's what happens when you do groupthink. Like, whenever you make a decision, like, I have a rule. No matter how dire or like a friend complains to me about their partner, I would never, ever, no matter how much I'm thinking it, give the advice, leave them, except you're in danger. If you're being hit or if you're being abused in any way or whatever, I will. But if there's just, you know, you're complaining about them, but you're choosing to stay in a lot, I would never say leave them because it has to come from you. So when I saw that preview, I was like, oh my God, what is going on?
The amount of shit that woman has talked with her friends. Anyway, that's a choice. That's a choice to even contemplate going back on the decision that you already went back on.
Well, we'll be watching it. We'll talk about it not next week, but the week after. But Aid, who has your bouquet this week?
My bouquet goes to Michael and Chloe just for still being in it. And honestly, Michael, with that conversation with Cameron, I felt he did the best he could to listen and not actually provide any commentary on all the nonsense that was being shared with him. And Chloe, for being vulnerable and showing us some emotion, it made me like her more. What can I say? Who has your bouquet this week?
I was going to go with the Chloe and Michael because I really appreciated their flirty energy. But since you got it, I'm going to go with Dr. Pia. I just truly appreciated her keeping it real and saying, listen, I don't care. I don't mind if you're lying to me and the camera. As long as between you guys are honest with each other, that's all I ask. That's why she gets my bouquet. That was real. Her bullshit meter is always on. Who has your burnt ashes?
I'm going to provide this one without any further explanation because I think I've talked enough about it. Emily, Claire, and Becca have my burnt ashes. Who has yours?
I think maybe we could start calling them Beck. That's their initials together.
Oh.
So it saves you a little time. Okay. My burnt ashes goes to Lauren and Orion. Listen, y'all know how I feel about Orion. I don't want this pretense. I was so glad that Lauren wasn't part of whatever Beck had going on or whatever is happening. But I don't know what's better, if I'd rather see her with Beck or see her with Orion. Because this shenanigans that they have going on and the friendship and the whatever, cut it out. You don't need that in your life and just cut it out and move on with your life.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at AltarCallMAFS. That's AltarCallMAFS. We love hearing from you guys on the socials. This week was a real doozy between After Party and the actual episode, so please come tell us what you think.
Yes, we would love to hear all your comments. We're available anywhere you listen to podcasts. Make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss any new episodes. Don't forget that there will not be a new episode next week. We instead will have the review for Traitors Season 2 up. Please give us a 5-star rating if you're so inclined on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And we will see you in 2 weeks, guys. And Love is Blind will be on Patreon as well. See you then.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.